everyone. It's really, really lovely to see you. It's a slightly different morning for those of you that are visiting because our Pastor David is in Nigeria at the moment. And those of you that are in Signal, that was a bit of a weak cheer there, Philip. Yeah. That's better. For those of you that are on Signal, we've had lots of updates. It looks as though he's having an amazing time. And I know that he will be praying for us this morning. And obviously we're praying for him as well as he's over there. So it's a really, really warm welcome to you. And we are carrying on with our series that we started last week, talking about living as children of light. Because God wants us to really become the people that he's created us to be. And he knows that there are lots of things that stop us being those people. And so we're working through that in the next few weeks, thinking about how to be really free in God. And so today, we are thinking about being a new creation. We are thinking about our hearts and how our hearts can be fixed by God. And so we're going to, first of all, think about the verse from Psalm 139. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I wonder if you actually believe that this morning. I wonder is, as you walked through the door this morning, you woke up, or when you woke up and you said, thank you, God, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Because sometimes it's hard to believe that. And so however you've come in this morning, know that God knows your heart, God knows where you are, and he understands, and he wants to meet you, not where you want to be, but where you are at the moment. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to meet him where we are. Now, those of you that are my age or older, you might remember a program on television called Wonder Woman. And there was a lady called Linda Carter who used to, if we can go on to the next slide, Philip, because you've got one on there, who used to spin around and she became amazing. She was normally, in normal life, quite plain, quite overlooked. Some people might say she was a little bit boring. But when she spun around, she became really good looking, she became amazing, and she was able to save the world from all these horrible situations. And if I'm being honest, as I was growing up, that's sort of what I wanted to be. I really wanted to be somebody that would make a difference in the world. And also, I would have quite liked to have looked like her as well. But however hard I spun around, it didn't happen. I never changed into Wonder Woman. In fact, my... Thank you very much. In fact, my life, I think, probably was a bit more like the next slide. Those of you that remember Mr. Ben... So Mr. Ben used to go into a wardrobe and come out dressed as something different each time and become someone different. And if I'm honest, a lot of my life I spent trying to be who I thought people wanted me to be. And so I would change depending where I was. But I soon realized actually that isn't what God wanted me to be. Because God knows who I am. God created me to be me. And actually, the only change that I need to do is let Jesus change my heart. And so true transformation only comes when Jesus is really in our heart. And that's what we're going to think about now. So Sean's going to come up and be my glamorous assistant this morning. Do you want to bring it? Yeah, thank you. So we're thinking about hearts. And you know me, I can't do anything without getting some food. So Sean, do you want to show what we've got in the bowl? We've got a chocolate heart. Okay, and we're thinking about how our hearts can be damaged, because I was hoping this morning that Bertie was going to be here. Those of you that know, Bertie is our puppet. But Bertie couldn't come this morning. And when I asked Bertie why he couldn't come, he said his heart was hurting. I wonder if your heart has ever hurt. I know mine has. But Bertie's going to show us now a little bit why his heart was hurting. So Sean's got in his hand a chisel, because sometimes during life our hearts get a little bit chiseled. Not really chiseled, don't worry, nobody's going to come and damage your heart, but things that go on around us can really, really hurt our heart. So Bertie this week is telling me about his week, and first of all he knows he did something wrong, because on Monday he was having for tea quiche, and as you know, Bertie doesn't like quiche. So he decided that he wasn't going to eat his dinner, and he fed the quiche to the dog. he told his mum that he'd eaten the quiche. So he told a lie. And Bertie's heart started to get a little bit damaged because he felt so guilty. And guilt can eat away at our heart if we don't deal with it. And Bertie didn't say sorry, and then he didn't admit to his mum that he'd fed the dog the quiche. The dog was in heaven because he loved the quiche. But, so Bertie's heart was feeling a bit guilty. And then on Tuesday, Bertie went into school and he wanted to play football. So he asked his friends, can I play football? And they said no. And Bertie said, why? And they said, because your socks are too smelly. And so poor old Bertie wasn't allowed to play football, and he stood at the edge and watched, and his heart was really hurting. So again, his heart was chiseled away a little bit, a bit more probably. And then on the next day, Bertie went into school again, and somebody told Bertie that he wasn't very clever. And Bertie got really upset. He was actually one of his friends, and I don't know about you, but sometimes when friends hurt us, it's actually harder. And so Bertie's friend did say sorry, but Bertie didn't want to forgive his friend. And so he's still carrying a lot of unforgiveness in his heart. So I'm not surprised that Bertie's heart's hurting. Shall we have a look at what Bertie's heart's looking like now? Do you want to hold it up, Sean? Poor old Bertie's heart. Please don't cry. It is going to get better. I can see you're all looking really sad. Poor old Bertie's heart isn't good. How can we fix Bertie's heart? What can we do? Any ideas? How can we fix his heart? How could we do it? Forgiveness. So we could tell him to forgive himself. Can he do that all on his own? No. So what Bertie might try to do, should we try and fix it, Sean? Should we stick all that back on? We're going to stick it all back together. There you go. Hold it up. It's all right now. It's not. It's still falling out. Any other ideas how we can actually get that heart back together? What could we do? We can make it. That's really important, isn't it? So we can make him admit to his mum that he didn't eat his quiche and say sorry. Excellent idea. Brilliant. So he can do that. Again, he could do that on his own. I wonder if I show you this. Can anyone tell me how we can actually fix that chocolate heart? What could we do? Theo? Amazing. So we could put that heart back in the mould. Yeah, should we try? So I'm going to put the heart back in the mould. Excellent. So it's back together. But what about all those bits that are left? What could we do with them? How could we get them to be part of his heart again? Any ideas? Hello, it's going to involve Sean going to the kitchen. Where could he put it? But go on, shout. You bolt them down. Melt them down. Sorry, see, I did say to Liz this morning, my hearing's going. So you can melt them. If we put the chocolate back on there and put it in the microwave, that back together. Will we then be able to take the heart straight out of the mould?
No.
Why not? It needs time to set again. Yes. There is a method to my madness, I promise you. So what Sean's going to do is going to go and zap this heart, and at the end of the service we'll have a look and see what's happened. Okay? So Sean, could you go and microwave the heart and then you can come back in. Fantastic. So last week when David was here, he talked about our need for security and the fact that the only unshakable security is the love of God. But what does that love actually mean for us? And how do we become the people that God really wants us to be? And the Bible tells us that because Jesus died, we are new creations in God. How do we become that new creation? What do we need to do? It certainly doesn't involve spinning around. And it doesn't involve going into a wardrobe and coming out as something different. I thought it'd be really good to watch a story this morning that will help us understand how to repair our hearts. So we're going to watch a story about how Saul became Paul.
When you read the Bible, there's a guy that really stands out, a man named Paul. Paul was a missionary who wrote the books of Romans, Galatians, and many others in the Bible. But what's really incredible is Paul's story before he became a follower of Jesus. He was a very different person. His name wasn't even Paul. It was Saul, and he hated anyone who followed Jesus. Saul tried to do what was right by following the old laws, but he believed anyone who followed Jesus was wrong. So he chased down Christians and captured them. One day, Saul was given permission to go to a town called Damascus and arrest any followers of Jesus that he found there. But an incredible event happened on the road to Damascus. As Saul got closer to the city, a bright light shone from heaven, blinding him. He dropped to the ground and heard a loud voice coming from the sky.
"Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me? Who are you?" "I am Jesus, the one you think is wrong. Get up and go to the city. Then you will be told what you need to do next."
Saul got up from the ground, but he was blind. He couldn't see anything. He was led to Damascus by his men, but for 3 full days, he was blind and didn't eat or drink anything. Now in that city, there was a man who followed Jesus. His name was Ananias. He also heard the voice of Jesus.
"Ananias, go to the house where Saul is. Place your hands on him so he will be able to see again."
Ananias was scared because he knew Saul had a bad reputation. He knew Saul hated Christians like him, but the Lord said,
"Go. Saul is the man I have chosen to share my good news."
So Ananias went to the house where Saul was staying. He put his hands on him and prayed for God to restore Saul's sight. Immediately, Saul could see again. He quickly chose to follow Jesus, got baptized, and regained his strength with some food. Saul stayed in that city and began to share God's good news with everyone. People knew he was the man who used to hate God and Christians, but they saw that now he was different. God had transformed him. He was no longer the Saul that didn't believe in Jesus. Now he was Paul, who spent the rest of his life serving God.
So an amazing story that tells us of a real transformation. It wasn't just a surface transformation, it was a transformation of the heart. And we're going to carry on thinking about that a little bit now. But for those of you that like to do things with your hands while you're listening, we have got some activity packs. In our activity packs for today, we've got a butterfly for you to colour in. We're talking about being a new creation. And we've also got a bracelet for you to make. And on that bracelet, parents, just be a bit careful because the things are a bit sharp that they scrape it off with. If you scrape this black stuff on the bracelet and write your name, the colours will appear underneath, a transformation. And then you can decorate it and wear it to remind yourselves how much God loves you and how much he sees your heart. And then we've also got the take-home sheets that we normally have. So, Rose, if that's all right, if we could give them out. And there's just one, there's no differentiation today, so they can just all go out. Fantastic. So, while you're doing your activity packs, we're going to carry on thinking about the story of Saul. And when I was preparing for this morning, I thought I knew this story quite well. But when I really looked at it, there's a number of things that really struck me. So if you bear with me, if you don't mind, I'm going to talk through what I actually saw for the first time in the story of Saul. So if we can go on to the next slide for a little, that'd be brilliant. Thank you. So first of all, in Acts 9, verses 1 to 22, that's where the story is. And at the beginning of the story, what really interested me was that although Saul needed to become a new creation, he thought that he had it sorted. Because Saul actually was, right at the beginning of the story, a deeply religious man. He was doing what he thought God wanted him to do. But the problem was, he'd got it wrong. Because he really felt that God wanted him to free the world of the Christians that were going around and telling the good news about Jesus. And so Saul didn't just do it on his own. He did get guidance from the religious leaders that were there. If you have a look in the book, in the Bible, it actually tells you that he got letters from the priests saying that he had authority to go and arrest the Christians. So Saul did think that he was doing the right thing. but he wasn't. And what he needed was that meeting with Jesus while he was on the road to Damascus. And sometimes I think we can think we've got it sorted and actually we don't need Jesus. And certainly when you're talking to people about God, the amount of times people say, I'm not a bad person, I don't need to come to church, I don't need to meet Jesus. Or lots of people say, well, I come to church, I give lots of money, I don't need to do anything else. Actually, the only thing that truly transforms our heart is to have that meeting with Jesus. And when we do, that's when he can do his work. And one thing that also really interested me at the beginning of the story was that Saul actually had to be stopped. I imagine Saul was the sort of person that didn't stop very much. I would imagine he was extremely busy, extremely strong, was on a mission, and he wanted to do God's work. Jesus had to stop him in his tracks to make him listen. I wonder how many times Jesus has to do that to us. Because actually, life can take over, and we can forget why we're doing things sometimes. And if we're not doing it with Jesus alongside us, it loses a lot of its worth and its value. And so sometimes I do think that God wants us to stop. And I actually think over the last year and a half, God has definitely been saying that. Because when we haven't got families and friends to meet up with, when we haven't got petrol in the car, it brings us back to the core root of who we are. And actually what God wants us to do is to spend that time with him, refinding him and in ourselves. So I do think that sometimes God will stop us in our tracks and say, now I want you to listen. It's not necessarily a pleasant experience, but it's really important that we do it. And so Saul was stopped and find who Jesus was. I also find it really interesting, one thing that I've noticed since COVID is lots of people are searching. I think because people have brought back to their grassroots, back to what is life without everything that's out there. I think people are searching, and we've got a real responsibility as a church. How are we going to respond when someone comes to me and says, I want to know more about God? What can you show me? I think we've got a real challenge on our hand at the moment because people are. The conversations that I have with some of the parents that come into Little Stars, they want to know. We need to show Jesus in a relevant and exciting way so that people do ask more and want to come to church and find out more. I think that's quite a challenge to us. The second thing I noticed was Saul's response. When he first responded to Jesus, he had two questions. And I wonder what our questions would be. If you met Jesus, if Jesus walked through the door now and was there, I wonder what you would ask him. I wonder what question you would ask him. Anyone brave enough to tell me what they would ask him if he came through the door now? Any ideas what you'd ask him? What would you ask him, Trudy? Right, so actually to repair broken relationships and to repair things in your family, really important, isn't it? When our family hurt, we hurt. Okay, brilliant. What would you, Hannah? Okay, you'd ask him to come and join us and sit down with us. Fantastic, brilliant. Anything else you would ask Jesus? What would you ask Jesus? How can he make us be able to? Wow, that's an amazing question. I'll pass that one on to Pastor David for you. How can he make us be able to do miracles? Because actually, we know that he can. But that's amazing. Fantastic question. They did actually, the late 1990s, they did a poll and asked people out there, what would you ask Jesus if you met him? And they were similar questions to the ones you've come up with. Will there ever be world peace? Will my family ever be secure and safe? What's my future going to be? And a really biggie, why did you let them kill you? Really big question. I thought that was quite interesting that people asked that. But Saul's question to Jesus, when he called him, was a lot more personal. His response, first of all, was, who are you? What a question. Who are you? And I think that Saul, when he later became became Paul, spent all of his life searching for the answer to that question. Because actually, I don't think he ever got to the point where he felt he knew Jesus as much as he wanted to. All the time, he was searching for that deeper relationship with him. And although he did amazing things for God, although he served him amazingly, I think he was always asking that question as he went on. And again, I think that's a real lesson to us. God wants us to go deeper and deeper and deeper with him. And I think that's amazing and exciting and a real challenge to us each day. And then the second question, which is a very bold question. What do you want me to do? It wasn't what do you want that person over there to do? It was what do you want me to do? I wonder, and this is a real challenge for me, do we really mean that question? Because sometimes God can give you an answer that you don't necessarily want. I was just talking to somebody about this, how we think we know what God's asking us to do, and then suddenly it can go completely the other way. But I wonder if we can boldly ask those two questions of Jesus today. Who are you, and what do you want me to do? The next thing that I noticed, was what Jesus actually asked Saul. And I found the words that he used here are really, really interesting, because he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul was out to get the Christians. Saul was going and killing Christians. He was allowing Christians to be killed. He was making sure that Christians were put in prison for following Jesus. I wonder why Jesus used the words, why are you persecuting me? I think that shows us that actually when we do things wrong, when we go our own way, when we ignore what people are telling us, when we ignore what the Christians around us are telling us, actually it's God we're hurting. Because Saul went through this amazing experience. Imagine he was walking down the road and suddenly a bright light hits him. Now we know that it was a really bright light. It tells us it was brighter than the sun. Later on in Acts, Paul actually tells us that this happens in the midday. So for the light to be brighter than the sun, even in the midday, shows what an amazing bright light that was. So Saul was walking down the road and he was hit by this bright light. And then he hears the voice. And the voice doesn't say, why are you persecuting my people? It says, why are you persecuting me? And that really interested me, because I think that when we do things wrong, when we go our own way, when we listen to what we want to do rather than what God wants us to do, it's actually him that we're hurting. And I do think that it hurts him. And so for us to know that we're, if I know I'm actually hurting Jesus, it really challenges me. So Saul was persecuting Christians, but he was actually hurting Jesus. And Saul fell to his knees, and I think he really, really knew then what he'd been doing. I think that was the beginning of the transformation for him, because he fell to his knees in front of the voice of Jesus and then stopped. He didn't change completely there. The change comes later, but that was the beginning of his transformation. He fell to his knees. Who are you? What do you want me to do? What an amazing situation to get into. I wonder how often we are actually on our knees before God saying, who are you and what do you want me to do? And I think a lot of people through history have actually done things that have really hurt God, and I dare to say that actually some of them have been done in the name of religion and even in the name of Christianity, because I think sometimes we get in our head that we know what we're doing, we know what's right. Judge other people, the way that we're harsh, the way that actually in the past even violence happened in the name of Christianity, that's because people stop listening to God and go their own way and think that they know what. And I think that's really, really important that we remember that, because it's very easy to be judgmental, it's very easy to be harsh to people, but actually people need love, and I think it really hurts God's heart when people in the name of Christianity don't show love, and it also really damages the church. So I think we really, again, have a real responsibility to show God's love in the way that it's meant to be shown, with acceptance, with embracing people, with meeting people where they are. And then Jesus will do the rest. Actually showing people the love is so important. And another thing I noticed here, and this actually really, really choked me up when I was thinking about this, was when Jesus spoke to Saul, he used his name twice. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I think, and I've got no theological background, but I think that he said that because his heart was hurting so much. It was a compassionate Saul, Saul. It was repeating the name. As a parent, sometimes when I am really frustrated and hurt for my children, you might say the name twice. And I think that's what Jesus was saying here. He was highlighting to Saul that what he was doing was actually hurting him. I wonder how many times Jesus has to say our name twice. Times we hurt him. He's desperate to really get to him and get the transformation we need. Because this transformation, this new creation in Christ, isn't just for the first time that we become Christians. If you look at Saul, if you read all the letters that Paul wrote, Paul never actually got to the point where he was who God had created him to be. He got close and he did amazing things. But if you read what he wrote, he still got frustrated with himself. He still knew he messed up. He still knew that he had to go back to Jesus again and again and again to get that transformation. And that should warm our hearts. Because actually, however much we mess up, however much we think, tomorrow I'm going to be better, and tomorrow comes and it goes wrong, God knows, God understands, and that transformation can happen again and again. That chocolate that we took into the kitchen, it doesn't matter how many times we microwave that chocolate, it will melt. It can go back in the mould. It can go back to that chocolate heart that's firm and solid. And that's what God can do with our hearts over and over again if we just turn to him and trust him. And then the last, my favourite part of the story, is the fact that God had planned all of this way before he actually met Saul on the road to Damascus. Because he had prepared people's hearts. And he didn't want Saul to go through this on his own. He had prepared Ananias to actually be there and to be part of Saul's healing. Isn't that amazing? And so whatever we're going through, yes, we need to turn to God. Yes, he can deal with it on his own, but he loves it when we turn to other people. He loves it when we're honest with other people and say, "I'm struggling, please pray with me." Because I really think God delights in seeing us get together. I think he delights in seeing us support each other and encourage each other and walk with each other. And so this part of the story I think is amazing. Jesus has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I wonder who Jesus has sent into your life so that you can see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know as I look back over my life, I am so thankful for the people that God has provided me with to actually encourage me, to let me know that it's okay, to help me stand back up, to help me get back on that walk with God. And so God will always send people to help us. Ananias, I think, was amazing. What trust he showed. People were going around killing Christians. Then Jesus said to him, "I want you to go to that house and you're going to meet Saul." He knew that Saul was out to get Christians. I wonder what our response would be. I think I would have run. But Ananias knew Jesus well enough to say, "Okay, I trust you. I will do it." Amazing trust that he showed. And then he showed amazing love because he went into Saul. Remember, Saul is blind. Saul can't see. He couldn't have seen Ananias. So Ananias, I think, did two things. First of all, he touched him. Touch is so important, particularly if you can't see. And so he put his hand on his head and touched him. And he also spoke. And he spoke with real compassion and his voice. And he said, "Be healed. Be filled with the Holy Spirit." And that filling of the Holy Spirit healed Saul from all that had happened. It wasn't just the blindness that was healed when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was everything that he had gone through. It was everything that he had done. It was all the guilt that he would feel for that. And it was also spiritual blindness, because all of a sudden he could see Jesus for who Jesus was. And I think that would have been an amazing experience, an amazing thing to witness. So Saul was broken, but God didn't want to leave him broken. He sent people to help him, and he wanted to leave him filled. And the way that Ananias actually ministered to Saul, I think, would be a real example to us. Because he didn't go to Saul and say, "What on earth have you been doing?" He didn't go to Saul and say, "You really, really need to get on your knees and repent and bow before God." He went full of compassion. He took risks, and then he had faith to fill him with the Holy Spirit so that his life could be really, really transformed. So the story of Saul, I think, is amazing and teaches us a lot about what God wants for us and how he wants us to be transformed and to be new creations in God. And I wonder what our response will be. It could be that you actually have never had that initial meeting with Jesus. It could be that you've come to church a little bit and you know a little bit about God. It could be that you are here for the first time. I'll encourage you to speak to somebody and to meet Jesus for that first time, because he longs to embrace you in the way that he embraced Saul. He longs to set your heart free in the way that he set his heart free. Or it could be that you need to meet him again. It could be that you've been a Christian for a long time, but actually Jesus never tires of meeting you. So it could be that again you need to fully surrender to God and say to God that you want to be who he wants you to be. So our question to Jesus, wherever we are in our walk of faith this morning, should still be the same. Who are you and what do you want me to do? What a challenge that is for us this morning, but also really exciting, I think. So, Sean, could you go and see how our chocolate heart's doing and bring it back in, please? So, our chocolate heart was broken and damaged because of things that had happened to it. Life had chiseled away at our chocolate heart. We put it into the mould. We zapped it with a microwave. We melted it. And then what did it need before it could be ready? Power and then time. That's the lesson for us today. And we've got a chocolate heart, complete and transformed again. Sorry, you can't see it. Okay. So like that microwave, we need God's power to transform our heart. But we also need to give it time. Healing, transforming is a process. And actually, it's a process that goes on and on. And I'm really laughing now because David told me that I couldn't do the sermon without using the word process, because I hate the word process, because for me, I want things to be like that. And they never are. And he gave me a challenge to do this service without using the word. And I got so close, so close. So, but it is a process, because although God can zap us, although the Holy Spirit can fill us, we have to give ourselves time and we have to be honest about where we are. So, our challenge, let's ask God who he is and what he wants me to do.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Kerry, for that. I might have that afterwards. Well, I think that's the best story I've heard on the Saul's conversion. That's really good. Thank you, Kerry, for that. And I don't know about you, but that slideshow there, that just says it all, doesn't it? You know, God is looking out for every single one of us today. Whether we like it or not, he's looking at us and he knows what we're doing and he knows what's going on in our lives, just as we've just seen with Saul. And he wants us to respond to him. It doesn't matter if we've been a Christian for 50 years, 20 years, one day, or we're not a Christian at all. He wants us to respond to him this morning. And may I suggest something, that we don't leave it? All those people that we saw on the film there, they didn't leave it. At some point in their life, they came to a decision. I've got to make a decision. It's either I am for Christ or I am not for Christ. And all those things on that screen, how amazing that every single one of them, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was fed up, cheesed off, not having a good life, but now I'm found. So I think we need a response this morning, and he's choosing us today to make a response. Now, I wonder if you could have the next slide, Philip, please. Okay, and this is going to be our response today, and I'm going to read it out. I wonder if we could all stand, and I'm going to read this out, and I'm going to say the first bit. I say no to the lie that Father God, and then you can say, is mean and cruel. Then I'm going to say again, I say no to the lie that Father God, and then we go down to the next one, okay? And then we go over to the other side, and then we do the same again, I say yes. So, the truth about my Father God, I say no to the lie that Father God. I say no to the lie that Father God. I say no to the lie that Father God. I say no to the lie that Father God. I say yes to the truth that Father God. I say yes to the truth that Father God. I say yes to the truth that Father God. I say yes to the truth that Father God. I say no to the lie that Father God. I say no to the lie that Father God. I say no to the lie that Father God. I say no to the lie that Father God. I say yes to the truth that Father God. I say yes to the truth that Father God. I say yes to the truth that Father God. I say yes to the truth that Father God. Amen. 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 Amen.